Hey, podcast listeners, Jesse here with a mini episode of Bullseye. There's one thing that I really wanted to Ren Weschler about that I couldn't fit into this week's show, and I wanted to make sure all of you heard it. Ren will explain it on the tape. Here it is, uncut. I want to ask you about the Museum of Jurassic Technology. Mm-hmm. This is something that you wrote about in this new book, and of course wrote an entire book about, called Mr. Wilson's Cabinet of Wonders. I'm really bad at explaining what it is to people. And given that you've probably had to explain what it is to a lot more people than I,
I'll try.
Maybe you could explain what it is.
First of all, where it is, you're in Culver City and you're on Venice Boulevard and you're passing a Pip printing and a carpet store and a,
probably the top thing there is an In-N-Out Burger.
There's an In-N-Out Burger down the street, and there's a Manny's Auto Lube, and there's the Museum of Jurassic Technology, and there's the next thing, and you go, what?
It's in a wholly unremarkable storefront. Like, could not be less remarkable or like somewhere where something interesting would be happening. Yeah.
And you knock on the door, and usually it's closed, but if it happens to be open, then you enter. It's dark inside. It's like some old Victorian natural history museum or something. It's filled with vitrines, all the usual things that museums have. It has vitrines and it's oak panels and legends and so forth. And
handsets that you pick up.
Pick
up
audio guides, and the narration is the institutional voice of authority. Probably you would be good for the narration, but
buttons that you press that light up certain parts.
So it's doing all those things. And it is filled with the most unbelievable stuff you have ever seen. Unbelievable because, as it turns out, it's not quite true, or maybe it is, or the stuff that isn't true, or there's just a lot of slippage going on. And at first you think, for example, there's human horns. One of my favorite ones that I push remember was the protective auditory mimicry. And when you listen to the audio guide, the voice of institutional authority says that you're looking at an iridescent stone and iridescent beetle. And it says that this beetle has learned to make exactly the same sound when threatened that this pebble makes at rest. And you go, okay. And I mean, it's filled with that kind of thing. Only it turns out that almost all of it's true. I mean, there's a Soviet Armenian refugee violinist who spent his days carving his own hair, strands of his hair, the way Michelangelo would carve a block of marble, and then painting them and putting them inside the eye of a needle. And you look through these lenses and you're sure you're being put on.
But it's there.
It's all true. It's completely true. And so at one level, it's kind of postmodern, you know, question all authority. What makes us, just because we see the legend says that it's a human horn, why do we believe or not believe it's a human horn? And it's an unusually lousy copy of a human horn, so you're sure that you're being put on and so forth. Only it turns out that human horns did exist and were, in fact, one of the emblems of the pre-modern. This isn't postmodern. This is pre-modern. This is where museums began, was in collections of freakish, weird stuff.
I took a class at UC Santa Cruz with a great professor named Forrest Robinson about 19th century American popular culture.
P.T. Barnum and so forth. Right?
Yeah. And there was a whole lot of stuff about museums and about performance, Coney Island and stuff. Mm-hmm. The beginning of the emergence of the simulacrum, right?
Correct.
And it was just a total blast of a class. And we watched this. If anyone has not seen Rick Burns' American Experience documentary about Coney Island, it's like one of the greatest things ever. But the thing that I ended up writing my like term paper about or whatever was about the relationship between this time and these museums and these performance forms and the emergence of the idea of the con man is like a classic sure. American person. And what's interesting about it to me is that these things that are completely liminal, which is to say sort of in the middle space between two things, not, and both of them being both of them and neither of them,
mm-hmm.
are absolutely the currency of this
right.
world,
right?
That it doesn't really
what I call the difference between wondering at and wondering whether.
Yeah, and I mean this kind of idea that there's this sucker born every minute thing is actually more about, there's this famous P.T. Barnum museum thing where they had a sign that said this way to see the egress. And
this
way to the egress, and then it would just dump you out on the street, and then you'd have to pay another nickel because egress just means exit, obviously. And the thing that makes that special isn't just that it's kind of funny and a joke, which helps, but the fact that people are already in this space where it's not really about whether it's real or not.
Right.
It's just whether it's interesting and amazing.
Well, it's that kind of thrill, the vertigo. The delight of being conned. There is a delight in being conned, and an annoyance, and a delight, and it's liminal right there. We know that's true. For example, when we go on roller coasters, why would anybody put themselves through that? But because it's kind of fun to have the bottom fall out from under you. The bottom falls out from under you constantly at the Museum of Jurassic Technology, and that's where that place lives. And my favorite thing that happened, by the way, when the book came out, like 6 months later, somebody came to the front desk and asked the guy at the front desk, "Are you either David Wilson or Lawrence Weschler?" And David said he was David Wilson. He said,
"David Wilson, the creator of the museum."
And the guy said, "Come on, tell me the truth. Does that guy Lawrence Weschler really exist?"
It's such an amazing thing. I know you really get a kick out of this sense of slippage,
right.
That sense of that, to use your word, or free fall, to use a word that you said earlier,
or a trapdoor.
What really blows my mind about this place is that I live in Los Angeles, right? I've lived here for basically 5 years now. I'm from San Francisco, so you can imagine how I feel about it in general. But it is so amazing. Like, the thing about Los Angeles that people who love Los Angeles will tell you, and is absolutely true, is that it's a city full of secrets, right? That because I, as a native San Franciscan, would say, because you're so alienated from your surroundings, you're a native Southern Californian, so I don't know how you feel about this. But because you're so weirdly disconnected by being in your car and everything being far from everything, there are worlds that you can just kind of fall into.
And it's great. It's absolutely great. And there are seven or eight things like that, like the museum here in town. And they actually kind of know about each other. And they're little wormholes from one to the other that you can go to. I mean, right next door to the Museum of Jurassic Technology is the Center for Land Use Interpretation, which has displays, for example, of police training towns. There are towns in the middle of the Mojave Desert that have fake Wendy's burgers and banks and so forth and so on, that are just like storefronts without the backs and so forth, where they can teach police to do riot control, for example. But this place does exhibits of those towns. And right now they have an exhibit of the center of the U.S. It turns out that there's 73 different places that claim to be the center of the U.S., the population center, the geographic center, and they have exhibits, photographs of all of them. Who knew?
Well, I mean, one of the most quote-unquote authentic things in Los Angeles is that Los Angeles has some of the world's most authentic inauthenticity.
Yeah.
You know, like Taco Bells and
donut stores that look like donuts.
And all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a weird spot.
You know, they have living rooms in San Francisco if you don't like it.
Well, hopefully we've inspired a few people to check out that Museum of Jurassic Technology. It is really, I mean, talk about your best things. I mean, that is just a magical, magical thing. Okay, well, that was for the podcast only, I guess. But Ren Weschler, thank you again for your time. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org. You can subscribe to the podcast free online at MaximumFun.org or in iTunes. We're supported by donation. Visit MaximumFun.org/donate to give.